Welcome to Prairie Craft Almanac, a podcast exploring craft, nature, and simple living. From discussions on sewing and knitting, to sharing valuable resources, to just chatting about what's going on in the garden or studio, this is where I like to talk about all things creative. I'm your host, Leanne, and I'm also the maker behind Moth and Rust DIY, the blog where I share free patterns, tutorials, and more. I'm all about living a creative life, and it's always my goal to inspire, encourage, and lift up others in their own creative journeys. In today's episode, it's almost fall, and I am freaking out a little bit. More importantly, though, I'm musing on the role of craft in today's world, and then I veer a bit off course. Oh, and I also have a really good recommendation for you, so I hope you'll stay tuned for today's chaotic episode. Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you've been well, and what a shock I did not record as soon as I thought I would. I really wanted to do this sooner, but at least it hasn't been 2 months yet. It's only been 1 month since you've last heard from me. Maybe I'll do better next time. Anyway, it's fall, you guys. Well, okay, it's not actually fall yet, but I can feel fall coming. It's closer, for sure. I have a love-hate relationship with fall. I love it for obvious reasons, but I don't like it sometimes because I always feel a lot of anxiety in the fall, which is, for me, saying something, since I tend to have anxiety most of the time, but I get downright panicky when it comes to autumn. And I recently learned that this isn't uncommon, and that's a bit of a comfort. It's not that I want other people to experience this, it's just that knowing that they do makes me feel a little less ridiculous. Not that I mind being ridiculous most of the time, but when it comes to some things, I guess I just would rather feel normal. I knew SAD, or SAD, seasonal affective disorder, was a thing, but I mostly associated that with winter and feelings of depression. Apparently, this feeling in the autumn time can come from anticipating SAD, but autumn anxiety, or as I like to sometimes call it, my fall freakout, is a thing that other people experience. Anyway, I'll include a link in the show notes to what I'm sure is a very scientific article in case it affects you too. But on a brighter note, I do really appreciate the cool down in the weather. It's still warm, but not triple digits at least. And the light feels a lot different. I am thinking about fall fashions. Not that I've actually made any progress. I'm still wearing the same old stuff, which is fine. But I've talked about this before. I might need a wardrobe overhaul. I'm not going to talk about it today. Anyway, I found this hooded vest pattern on my computer that I had quit working on for one reason or another, and I realized this was the perfect time of year to actually get it finished and ready to share as a pattern. I probably need to buy some fabric for it, but I think I know what I want to get, so hopefully that isn't too far off on the horizon. No promises, of course, but I do feel like I'm actually closer to getting some new tutorials or patterns up on the blog. Since my custom orders have been slowing down a little bit in recent weeks from what they were, I've been trying to clean up my studio area and organize and get rid of stuff. This is a constant battle for me, but I've been a little bit more ruthless lately about getting rid of things and letting go. And I actually feel like I'm making a little bit more progress than I have in the past, so hopefully I will continue with that. There are just a lot of things I need to throw away or recycle, like papers and different things, but I also have a lot of stuff I can't throw away, and I also just don't want to stick it like in the Goodwill bag, you know? So I had what I think is kind of a brilliant idea, or at least it feels like a brilliant idea, we'll see. Apparently you can set up auctions on eBay for charity organizations, and whatever percentage of the sale you choose to go to that charity will be automatically donated to the organization when you make a sale. And the thought I had was to maybe list some of this random stuff I have to benefit some of my favorite charities. I also thought about doing this with some of my old artwork. I don't know yet. We'll see. I would say yes, I'm definitely going to do this, but I have concerns about the artwork since a lot of them are larger pieces, and I don't know exactly how I'm going to ship them yet or how much that'll be, or I just don't know. But that's what I'm thinking about. Anyway, I thought it would be cool to do that with some stuff that's still good and usable, but that I don't really need personally. This way, I would know that whoever's receiving the item actually wants it, and the money goes to a good cause, and I can continue to declutter, and I can keep stuff from potentially being thrown away as it might be. Because I know from people who have worked at various places, like, again, Goodwill, that sometimes stuff gets trashed if it's not exactly what they're looking for, even if it's still good and usable, and I really don't want to risk that. So I haven't done anything yet with this project, but if I do, I will definitely let you know. I'm just really excited about the idea. And while we're talking about it too, if you have a charity or nonprofit organization that you really love, let me know about it so I can take a look. I have a number that I like to donate to, but I'm always open to hearing about other good ones as well. And I'd love to give a garden report, but I don't have a whole lot to say. One exciting thing is that I picked some green cotton. The bowls bursted open and I guess they were ready, and so I got a few of those. The green cotton, at least compared to the brown that I've been growing for a couple of years, is very soft. Not that the brown isn't, but this is seems especially soft, and I'm excited to get more. It's kind of interesting to try a different variety. But other than that, it's been so hot and dry for so long. I figure that if I can just keep things alive in the garden until they start producing again, like the tomatoes, that'd be great. And it is starting to feel a little better, like I said, more fall-like. But honestly, since the squash and cucumbers died and the corn is done pretty much, my main concern is the cotton. But they look still pretty healthy, even when I don't get to water them as much. So I'm not too worried about it. I did plant some carrots, which are coming up nicely, in some small tanks, but I do need to get a fence around those soon so that the chickens don't pluck them all out. But other than that, honestly, not a whole lot going on in the garden. I have such a delightful recommendation for you today. Recently, while browsing YouTube, a video was recommended to me, and I went ahead and clicked on it. It was from a channel called The Last Homely House, and this is a channel from a very lovely lady named Kate, who lives in the UK in The Last Homely House. And I'm just going to read her description of her channel right now, because that sums it up pretty nicely. Kate says, "Welcome to my little corner of the world. Here is where I share my home, my cats, poultry, bees, garden, and all the things I love to do here in the north of England. A glorious celebration of my simple life." This is what Tolkien said about the last homely house east of the sea. "It is a perfect house, whether you like food or sleep, or storytelling or singing, or just sitting and thinking best, or a pleasant mixture of them all. Merely to be there was a cure for weariness, fear, and sadness. That's what I hope my house is for folk. I promise you no strongly held opinions, rants, or arguments, just a friendly few minutes in your day that I invite you to share with me." And that's how Kate describes her channel, quoting a bit of Tolkien. And I've got to say, it's pretty darn accurate. I've watched a number of her videos since I first discovered her, and they're just so comforting and inspiring, and they truly are a great cure for weariness. I'm really glad that I discovered this gem of a channel and of a person, and I'll be sure to link to this channel in the show notes so that you can see it for yourself. So, quite a while back, when I was starting notes for this episode, I thought I'd give a little essay on why craft is still important in these modern times. I was just thinking of all the crazy things going on in the world and about the very serious and heartbreaking life and death types of things and all the struggles and injustices and tragedies. the things that I know about and the things that I probably can't even fathom. And in light of all these serious, horrible, heartbreaking things that go on, I was thinking of how I have sometimes asked myself the following question. Is it silly to be stitching little baubles when people are suffering? Should I really be buying more yarn and beads and whatever else when there are people who can't buy food? What is the point of using precious time to knit a pair of socks when I can just pick up a pack at the store for a few dollars and then maybe put my time and energy into a more serious cause? Basically, I sometimes ask myself, in the grand scheme of things, is it really all that important to be creating? Now, you can probably guess that my answer to this is yes, it's still important. And I wasn't even going to talk so much about the more practical reasons, like environmental, economic, ethical reasons, though those are plenty and they're important. I was going to focus more on how crafting and creating is important on a very personal level, and how these things are critical to a person's individual, emotional, and intellectual well-being. I was going to talk about how creating enriches our minds and can advance our problem-solving skills. I was going to talk about how it can communicate love and care and how it can connect people and bring communities together in a variety of ways. I was going to talk about how creating strengthens us mentally and emotionally and just brings us joy. And of course, how it can inspire others. So I was going to talk about all this, but then I realized I'm not even looking at this from the right angle. While I absolutely believe that all the things I just said are true, these are good reasons for us to be creative, and these are the benefits of creativity, they aren't really the reason we are creative. The reason to be creative, or the reason that we simply are, is because we're human. Creativity is an intrinsic and unique, and I think completely integral part of being a human. And to use a really poor analogy, it's like trying to list the benefits of flying to birds. Surely flying does offer a lot of benefits, but that's not why they do it. They do it because that's just what they do. Creative beings is what we are, and somehow giving that up, as if we could ever completely, would be devastating. I think it's natural to ask yourself sometimes, is art and craft and creating really all that important? It may sometimes feel trivial in the face of other things, but even asking that question, I think, demonstrates that we are unavoidably creative. As a side note, I know there are a lot of people who think they are not creative, but everyone is in some capacity. You may not paint or dance or write, but we are all able to put things together and rearrange and reimagine in thoughtful ways, and that's really the essence of creativity. Honestly, at this point, I think I'm just rambling, but it's something that's been on my mind, so I just wanted to talk about it some. And as I was thinking about all this, my mind shifted to start thinking about the outcomes of creativity, I guess. We will create, but how should we be directing this creativity? I'm a little exhausted at this point, honestly, so it may need to be a discussion for another time. But as I've been thinking about the necessity or the inevitability of creating, I've also been thinking, as I have over the years, about what we should expect from that act of creativity. What I mean is, as someone who sells their creations, I've gotten into the habit, I think, of too often thinking about how I might monetize or otherwise, I guess, exploit my creative efforts. And I don't say that in a greedy way, but what I mean is, how can I make the things that I'm working on count, quote unquote, beyond just doing the things for their own enjoyment or for the sake of whatever I'm making? Oftentimes, I will think about how I can make my creative projects do double duty. And many times, this might mean nothing more than, say, creating a tutorial for my blog, which isn't something I've done lately. And that's not something I get paid for, but it's something I can offer to other crafters who might find it useful while also enjoying the project myself. It's like, if I'm going to do something, I feel I also need to be turning it into something of value for my audience, or in some cases, making money off of it, like when it comes to things in my shop. And I don't think that in itself is bad. I can often justify this as thinking that I'm being a good steward, and I think that can be true. But I've also found that since this has become my default mode, it can sometimes impede creativity. And again, I think I've veered off in a totally different train of thought at this point. I guess since I'm accepting, creativity as a real necessity of life, I've just been thinking about how I need to be okay with that creativity not always necessarily producing something. I'm trying to get comfortable with doing creative things for their own sake. I'm trying to get comfortable accepting that sometimes you might engage in a creative exercise with no visible results of any import beyond the fact that you sharpened your skills and flexed your creative muscles and possibly came up with some new ideas or made some new connections. And one more thing I'm trying to get comfortable with, and this is something that watching Kate from The Last Homely House has helped me with. Anyway, that thing is taking time with my projects. I know I talk about slow living from time to time, but I don't always practice it, honestly. I sometimes tend to feel anxious or guilty even when I don't finish projects right away. But Kate has mentioned a number of times that she enjoys having many projects going at once, and that some might take her a few years to complete. And hearing this makes me feel a little more confident when I do the same thing. Anyway, once more, I've totally gone off on a tangent, which is perfectly fine. But that being said, I am a little bit tired of talking. So I'm going to leave it at that for now. Maybe I didn't come to some grand unifying conclusion, but again, that's okay. Maybe next time. We'll see. Thank you so much for spending some time listening to me go on and on today. If you ever want to reach out or have questions about anything, please don't hesitate to get in touch. The best way to do that right now really is by emailing me at mothandrustdiy@gmail.com. I used to say you could get in touch via social media, and technically you still can, probably, but honestly I have not been on social media much lately, and even when I do get on, a lot of times I'm not alerted to messages all the time, so I might not see it. So again, the best way is email. Or you can also use the contact form on my website, mothandrustdiy.com, because that will go directly to my email. And of course, as always, all the links to my website and socials and anything else that I talked about in this episode will be included in the show notes. You can find free tutorials, patterns, and much more at my official website, mothandrustdiy.com. Again, thank you for listening. I hope you are well, and please take care of yourself.